Thanks, Alice, and thanks for hosting the competition. I know I learned a lot from it. I'm happy to be here. This is my first time at ASHS. So I'm here today coming from a soil science program at Utah State, and I'm presenting to you about establishing organic peaches in the Intermountain West. And that's because of the co-authors on this particular fact sheet. They spent several years of their professional lives working on this integrated project, and so I want to acknowledge them at the beginning before we get going. So a quick outline for today. I'm going to give you a brief introduction into some of the stone fruit research that's happening at USU. I want to describe each of the management practices that the original project looked at, some of the results and findings that we generated, and then how does that actually turn into recommendations for our organic orchard systems. So it's important to note that northern Utah has really hot days and really cold nights. The particular soil qualities that orchards like, and they're situated across a landscape, usually at the base of ranges above the valleys, so they have really good airflow. And that's why stone fruits grow well in our region, and we're kind of the highway between South Salt Lake City and northern Utah is kind of a highway of fruit production for us. So if you'd like to learn more information, you can definitely check out the USU Extension Production Horticulture website. But again, like I said, this project lasted for several years. So it was 2008 to about 2015, so from establishment to when the trees were pulled out. And all of the findings were published in my major advisor's paper was from Jennifer Reeve et al. In 2017 in Hort Science here. And what they were looking at was it was an organic systems trial. They had six treatments with four replicates, and the overall objectives was that they were looking for increased fruit yield and quality. They wanted to maximize ecosystem services from the orchard lands that were in production, and they wanted to optimize the economic return for the producer itself. Additionally, you can find more information. This is our lab website, and if you click or download the PDF after the conference or use the QR code to access that page. So a quick overview of each of the of what we'll talk about here. So the organic industry standard in the Intermountain West uses a lot of different techniques to meet their fertility requirements, manage their weeds, manage their pests, and they have lots of different alleyway or maybe a single alleyway establishment option. So there's a combination of organic fertilizers and composts, tillage within the tree row to manage weeds. They use a few organic pesticides and manage their ground cover, and almost exclusively they use grass in the alleyways. So what we wanted to, or what the group wanted to look at is how do you establish an alternative orchard that's gonna to meet those three objectives? And the answer is using a mixture of organic fertilizers with compost as well as cover crops, and ultimately establishing legumes in the alleyway. And what the legumes will do is actually provide nutrients for the tree roots, and they'll help manage the ground cover to maximize those ecosystem services. So there were six treatments. It was a grass alleyway with mowed vegetation tree row. We used a straw mulch, tillage within the tree row to maintain the bare ground, as well as a weed fabric within the tree row. Each legume alleyway, there were two. We used a mowed vegetation tree row and then a straw mulch. And I have pictures of each of these. Notice that the two on the bottom right, they were not evaluated. So what does this actually look like? So within the fact sheet, when it's published on eOrganic, you'll be able to see this particular graphic and the way it works. Where's my mouse here? Great. So between each of the peach trees, it was about 16 feet, so 4 feet for each tree row. We used what was called the Swiss sandwich tillage strip that was 1 foot that made the boundary between the tree row and the alleyway. This is where all of the fertilizers were actually applied. And then each of the alleyway treatments occurred here. So this particular graphic shows the bird's foot treefall alleyway, or a legume that's commonly used in the Intermountain West. So this is actually what it looks like. So mowed vegetation, for lack of a better term, they tried to establish a low-growing annual alyssum. And after 2 years, the weeds essentially took it over, and they just let the weeds go. And the bird's foot treefall alleyway that you can see with the yellow flowering. So again, you can see more clearly what the tree row actually looks like. These pictures are from the third year of establishment, which would have been in 2011. So you can clearly see the difference between the weeds, the Swiss sandwich strip, and then a grass alleyway. This was the straw mulch tree row treatment. Again, it was about 4 kilograms of straw per tree for the first 2 years, and they quickly recognized that that was too much, and they reduced that to 2 kilograms per tree moving forward. Note that pictured here is the grass alleyway. I don't have a picture of the bird's foot treefall alleyway to show you today. And then this is the kind of organic industry standard. So it's a grass alleyways with bare ground and irrigation lines on running from tree to tree. And some growers had started to adopt a weed fabric, actually, to manage their weeds between the tree rows. And then you can clearly note that the difference between the weed fabric treatment and the mowed vegetation treatments in each of the blocks. So what does this actually look like when we start to analyze the results? So this is trunk cross-sectional area, or TCSA. It's a measurement of how thick the trunk is, and it's an easy way to look at how quickly the trees establish themselves in the orchard. So if we start with the first year of data in 2009, so again, the trees were planted in 2008. In 2009, we started to take measurements. Note that the weed fabric tree row, so on the far right, started to establish most quickly, but by the third year of establishment, the legume, or the bird's foot treefall alleyway, the bare ground tree rows, and the weed fabric tree rows were statistically insignificant. As this continued throughout the orchard trial, you can see that the legume alleyway consistently maintained its establishment in comparison to the weed fabric tree row, as well as the organic industry standard, which would be the bare ground tree row. So when we start to look at that's really exciting for us, because what that means is that even with the weeds growing in the tree row, the cover crop of the legume in the alleyway is actually providing enough nutrients for the roots of the trees to access, whereas we're not seeing that carry over into the grass alleyway, that the tree roots can't access the nutrients within the soil of the alleyway, whereas they can with the legumes. So that's really exciting for us. So what we wanted to look at also is how many weeds are actually in the tree row, even though we are allowing them to grow between our peach trees. So this is the percent bare ground that we're looking at. And so we have on the far right is the weed fabric with grass. So that's, as we would assume, would have the most bare ground as it's covered. And then, here we go. So the second one is the tillage. So it's important to note here, this is percent bare ground, so amount of ground that's not covered by weeds. And in June, it quickly increases to July, where after the tillage, we take out all of the weeds, and we can actually maintain very easily bare ground here, whereas in the mowed vegetation treatments, there very little of the ground between the tree row was actually uncovered. And what does that look like for weed densities? And this, we can take this with a grain of salt. So these are weed densities, not weed biomass. So it's weeds per meter squared. And note that in the tillage, so the bare ground tree rows, There was a lot of weeds, but they were very tiny, so they didn't carry over much. They didn't cover much of the ground, and since they were small, they didn't. We can assume that they didn't accumulate much of the soil nutrients to inhibit the tree establishment. But in the mowed vegetation tree row with the legume alleyway, we can see that we can effectively manage weeds throughout the growing season. So what does the rest of the organic system look like for our orchard? So I'm going to start to walk through some of the other insect managements and so on. What we did, as you can tell in the top right here, so this is a legume alleyway with weeds growing within the tree row, and it was mowed about monthly. And the reason for that is because we were worried about Lygus bugs as well as earwigs. And what we found is that if you mow the tree or if you mow the ground cover consistently and allow it to continue to have that biomass on the orchard floor, that the most of the pests will actually stay in that ground cover. And if you mow it to the soil surface, that actually destroys the pest habitat, and then they migrate up into the canopy. So we didn't see a impact of Lygus bug cat facing on the peaches. It turned out that the earwigs were more of an issue within the insect management realm, but none of these trials were treated for insects at all. So there was no sprays used. It was only to see where the insect populations were moving. And fruit yield. So again, we're looking for this economic return for the producer. And it was found that the weed fabric tree rows developed and yielded the most fruit per tree. But the legume and the bare ground tree rows were not significantly different. So the weed fabric did best in terms of yield, but the legume alleyway and the tillage tree rows were very, very similar. And it's important to note, too, that the grass alleyway treatments actually produced a smaller tree and produced less fruit regardless of each of the tree row treatments. And the reason that we're really excited about this is that establishing a legume alleyway allows the producer to generate its own fertilizer on the orchard. It can reduce costs for weed management because we are providing enough nutrients for the tree to actually establish itself. And it maintains beneficial predators to increase and maximize those ecosystem services. And again, the profitability only makes sense because of the USDA organic standard that the producers can sell it at. Some concerns, birchfoot trefoil can be difficult to establish, allowing for weeds to overtake the alleyways upon the initial establishment. It is important to use cover crops and other organic methods to prepare the site quite quickly. And for the weed fabric, even though it did produce the most yield, it became a bear and an issue to remove that each winter and then reapply it in the spring. So to wrap up, we did see that tree growth is dependent upon access to nutrients and not the increased weed pressure that we saw in our legume alleyway with the mowed vegetation tree row. And this does provide a method, an organic method, for managing soil fertility, managing our weeds, and managing our insect populations within the organic orchard. So again, I'd like to thank my co-authors as well as our funding sources. And I don't know, do we have time for one question? Are we at?
Extremely quick question.
Yes.
What was the irrigation system?
Yeah, sure. So if you look, it was a drip line. Yeah, across. So in the weed fabric treatment, it would irrigate right at the base of the tree. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Very much.